Welcome. Welcome, one and all. Let everybody get in. Welcome, welcome. Coach Ashley will get in and raise her hand. All right. Welcome. Let's do a little of the housekeeping really quickly first. If you would please set your chat to everyone so that we can all hear your wisdom. Thank you, Linda. Coach Ashley's in the chat. She's going to be talking in all caps. And she's not yelling at you if you're new. She is literally just trying to make her post stand out for you. So I am No BS Coach Julie. I am so honored to be here with you. If you identify as having 100 pounds or more to lose, this call is designed for you. You get to raise your hand and get coached. And everyone else is welcome to be here. But this call is for No BS women who identify as having 100 pounds or more to lose. You can raise your hand if you want to be coached. And I am just going to take a hot second and introduce myself. Once again, I am No BS Coach Julie. I am a private coach here at No BS. I predominantly work one-on-one with members. All of the coaches coach everything, as you know. We all coach on weight loss. We're all advanced certified in weight loss, but lots of us have gone on to get further education. I myself have done that and have two certifications in sex and relationships coaching. And I love to coach on like radical self-love and acceptance, sex and relationships. And my specialty is taking big ass action, as you know, both in your life with your mindset and body in your career. I myself have lost 92 pounds. I'm just on the edge of that 100-pound mark. And I still have 70 more pounds to lose, maybe. I don't know the final number. Thank you. Yes, thank you so much. I am on my own path, my own journey, my own pace, doing no BS my way, and you get to too. So if you would like to be coached on this incredible call, raise your hand, Laura. I'm going to promote you to panelist, and you get to be first. Hi, Laura.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. What are you working on?
Good. So I am really struggling with thoughts about I'm never really going to be able to lose the weight, and if I do, I won't be able to keep it off. I lost about 100 pounds up to 2021, and then I've regained 60. And I just kind of have all these stories in my head about how I'll never be able to get the weight off. I'll never be able to keep it off. And that is interfering because I get an urge and I'm like, well, it doesn't matter anyway. And so I give up and I eat.
Yeah. Okay. So your brain is telling you stories. Why are you listening?
I know I shouldn't listen. I try to talk back, but they're really persistent. I might be able to just dismiss one thought and then another one will sneak in. It's kind of attacking me from all angles. And it's really frustrating because I know logically that that's not true. I've lost weight before, therefore I can lose weight again. And I know that, eat less, move more, right? We'll get there in the end. But I keep making poor choices and I don't know how to stop.
Well, let's start with your brain is saying stories. What story? Give me one example of like just one individual example, and then what do you say back to your brain when it tells it to you?
All the women in my family have been large, and it's just not possible for me to have a smaller body.
Okay. All the women in your family have been large. It's not possible for you to have a smaller body. And what do you tell your brain back?
Well, I could try. I don't know. I don't have a very good comeback to that. I'm just like, well, it doesn't mean that I have to be large. It just means that I might have more of a predisposition towards a larger body size, but that doesn't mean that I couldn't work hard and get to a better place.
Well, does anyone else's size body actually mean anything about your body?
I don't know. I guess I figured that there might be a hereditary component to it. I know that I've definitely picked up my family's eating habits, which are not necessarily useful.
This is so interesting because, like, you want to make gross generalizations about, like, well, maybe there's hereditary or there's these, like, looking for reasons why your story is true, which we all do. But I think what you just said is the most interesting thing. You have practiced your family's eating habits. What are those? Tell me about it.
Whenever you are stressed, worried, anxious, whatever, any feeling, bored, whatever, the way to deal with that is to eat. So you had a
Okay.
bad day, okay, ice cream. You had a good day, oh, ice cream.
Yeah. Okay. This is such like, this is an interesting awareness, right? Because you literally, like, whatever feeling it is, you learned that food was the way to experience it or not experience it.
Yeah, it's about I don't know, distancing yourself from that emotion. It feels uncomfortable. Even if it's a good emotion, it can feel uncomfortable. And it's like there has to be some way to kind of put distance between yourself and the feeling.
Tell me why. Why do you want to avoid the feeling versus experiencing the feeling?
I don't know, feelings are scary.
Are they?
Yeah.
Tell me why.
I don't know. I want to feel in control. So if I'm feeling anxious or depressed or worried about something, I don't want to feel that way. And if I'm eating, then I'm thinking about eating and enjoying the food, and I'm not thinking about the things I'm worried about.
What's coming up for you right now?
Oh, lots of things.
Well,
I cry at the drop of a hat. I'm very good at crying.
so you must, are you having a sensation in your body?
The tightness in the throat, tightness in the chest.
Yeah. So what are you feeling right now that's like that, all of those sensations are connected to that feeling?
Well, am I embarrassing myself on a public call?
Well, that's what you're thinking, but do you feel embarrassed?
I feel, I don't know, vulnerable.
Yeah, okay. When you put your hand on your chest or somewhere that feels good to you, take a deep breath in through your nose, out through your mouth. You are literally not alone, Laura. Like so many of us, we're taught to not feel our feelings, that something's wrong with them or that they're bad, to avoid them, that others aren't supposed to know them. Take another breath. You can let go of your hands whenever you're ready, but I just want you to sit with this for a minute. So you have just practiced for a really long time being afraid to feel your own feelings. Do you believe it's possible to feel them and like experience them without fear?
Well, I know you should be able to. I just
Yeah,
don't know how
so
to get
like
there.
let's leave shoulds and coulds out, but let's like you believe it's possible. There are people in the world that can feel all feelings, even when they're uncomfortable, feel the discomfort, and then kind of ride the wave through their feeling.
Right.
Okay, are you open to doing that yourself sometimes or once even?
Yeah, I just don't really know how.
Well, I think you're doing it right now.
Am
I
I?
mean, so you had sensations in your body, tightness, you said, you were feeling some fear, maybe some embarrassment. You welled up, right? Like crying is a response to feelings. Like, I kind of think you're having a feeling right this minute. You tell me, are you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what if this is like kind of the worst it gets? And you're not eating.
No. I don't know, just like how long does it last? Is it gonna last a long time? Like it's very uncomfortable.
Yeah. Okay. So this is different for everybody. The science says somewhere between 2 to 5 minutes. Most people, it's 2 to 3 minutes if you sit with it. I have heard people describe hours long, but usually, really, if they evaluated, they would notice they're having one feeling and then they're frustrated with that feeling. So now it's the feeling plus frustration, and that causes like different sensations. So if you really scientifically evaluated the actual experience, it's feeling after feeling after feeling. But most people, the wave is somewhere around 2 to 5 minutes. I sometimes clock mine. Like I have the stopwatch on the ready on my phone. And when I'm having a real discomfort, I feel a wave of heat rush through my body. Everything seizes up really tight, kind of how you were describing your tightness. And I hit the stopwatch and I will almost always put my hand on my heart, but that works for me. Some people do their abdomen or one above the other, cut, like arms on the back, hands on the back of your arms, or maybe tap the tops of your legs and create like not a mantra, but we're going to call it that, a sentence of comfort. So I usually will say like, it's okay, Julie, like you're safe. All that's happening here is you made a mistake. Like for me, it comes when I've made a mistake and I feel very embarrassed, right? And so immediately I'm like, it's okay, Jules. Like you made a mistake. You're feeling embarrassed. This is what feeling embarrassed is in your body. And I just deep breathe through it. And honestly, that stopwatch, and I kind of try, I like, those of you who know me, I'm like a data person. I track almost everything in life. Like I'm a tracker. I've never really had one more than 3 to 5 minutes. And you do feel like the high, like you're on a peak, it's getting worse, 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 worse. You plateau and then it kind of goes down the other side. Have you done any of the trusting your body course?
I went through it when it was new, a while back, but it's been a while since I looked at it.
I believe it's less than six, but like it's either five or six. The now plus nurture really goes through this process where you like name the emotion you're having. And this sort of partners with the four N's that we use too. So you can like notice the feeling, right? And four N's is about thinking, but you can adapt it for feeling. So you notice and name the feeling, like I'm feeling embarrassed. And then that's the N. And then O is like being willing to be open to it. I also like to call that observing it, like open and willing to watch it. And then the W is like witness it. And when we say witness it, it's almost like a third person. So what I like to imagine is I'm sitting in a movie theater and I'm watching the movie of my life. I'm on the screen. So I'm not exactly in it with intensity, but I can see the character of me on screen is in it with intensity, right? But I'm witnessing. So you're naming it, being open to it, willing to just step out of it, like just enough where you're not experiencing it in its intensity, where you're observing. And then like letting that wave of the feeling go through your body and notice all the ways you feel it. Like I told you about the heat and the tightness. For me, it can be very sharp tingles. The hairs on my arms can stand up. I will sometimes feel like prickles in like every ounce of my skin and scalp feels really prickly. And I just notice like all the different sensations that I have in my body. And then you kind of go through the wave. And then when it's now plus nurtured, the nurture is like now that you've kind of gotten on the other side and you're on the downhill slope. So basically, you got like dysregulated above home base and you're kind of coming back down. It's like, now what do I really need? I need comfort. I need to self-acknowledge. I need to remind myself, like, there again, I'll say, like, you're safe. You're safe in your own body. All that happened here is you made a mistake and you feel embarrassed, or whatever the thing is. All that happens is you feel embarrassed. You're experiencing that. You're okay. You're okay. And I like literally, it's like imagine a little kid falling down and scraping their knee, and you can either go, ah! Or you can be like, you're okay. Like, yeah, it hurts, but like, you got this. And there's a sense of that. It's not Pollyanna at the end, right? It's just acknowledging like you're very uncomfortable and you kind of give yourself the thing you need, which is what? When you feel this intense feeling, what is it that you need, Laura, that has nothing to do with food? Like, if you didn't offer yourself food, what are you needing?
Well, sometimes I just need to go to bed,
Yeah.
or do
Yeah.
something different, get myself out of the room that I'm in and go change focus.
Yes. So this, I really want to be your assignment, your homework is to allow yourself to experience, like, the goal is not eating today. Go ahead and eat. The goal is to allow yourself to feel the feeling for, say, a minute or more. And then allow yourself to do the now plus nurture. If you still want to eat, eat. Everything at No BS is not about instantly not eating.
Yeah.
Allow yourself to experience the feeling and eat. Don't beat yourself up for the eating. And then positively reinforce for however long you held the feeling. If that's 30 seconds, it's like that's 30 seconds more than the last time. When your brain tells you drama, like, well, you still ate, or any of the drama that all of our brains say, you can say to yourself, yes, I did. And I'm learning to not do that sometime. But as of this moment, what I taught myself is I can sit with this feeling for 30 seconds or a minute. How does that sound?
Yeah, I mean, it's a challenge. And I do have those voices in my head like, that's not enough. That's not good enough. So
Yeah. And
thinking
you're
about
going to
that.
tell those brains, like, yeah, that part of your brain, yep, thank you. Thank you for that contribution. I know you don't think it's good enough, but I'm teaching myself that it's good enough. I mean, when you first learn to walk, nobody says one step isn't good enough. Everybody tells you one step is required to take a second. To go up a stairwell, you have to take the first step. You don't just get to the top. Like, nobody splits their way to the top. This is actually really normal. It's how humans function. It isn't enough forever, but it is enough for day one. So that's the great thing to tell your brain is like, I know long term, just 30 seconds isn't enough, but that's fine. I'm going to do 30 seconds and then 45 and then 60 and then 90. So I'll get where I need to go. So, like, dial it back, judgment brain. Right? I mean, really, it's sort of like, yeah, of course it's not enough. It's enough for now. It's enough for today.
It's a good mantra, enough for now, enough for today.
Right. So, okay, I want you to try this. This is your assignment if you choose to accept it. And then you know where to find Ashley and I in Facebook and Ask Coaches. You can tag us in Facebook if you want everyone to see how it's going for you. You can tag privately and Ask Coaches, do attention Ashley or myself, and let us support you along the way after you've done it a few times and if you need any more support.
All right, thank you so much.
Thanks, Karen. Nice to see you. Karen, I just called you Karen. Sorry, Laura. Thank you, Laura.
That's okay.
All right. That's funny. Karen, you're next. I must have seen your name in the corner of my eye, Karen. Laura, I apologize. Okay. Hi, Karen. I'm going to ask you to unmute. Oh, okay. You know how, oh, you're still muted. You know how to unmute because you just did it. There you go. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Good. So I've been in an LDS for 3 years and I'm really trying to pick it back up, right? I get a little bit of momentum and then I stop, right? So then it's just there's either a moment that happens and then I go off the rails, right? And then I'll come back a little bit again and then go off the rails. So what I'm trying to do is by getting on this call to, interrupt that pattern, right? And what I've got under my belt now is 20 days of data, right? Really looking at everything and saying, okay, what works, what doesn't work, And so what I'm finding is in the moments of fuck it, it happens. And that's where I just stop everything, and that's where nobody else goes out of my head. I don't think about it or I don't care. And it's, I, part of that is I want to dial that back in. And there's two things that might be happening too from it is I'm not stopping it enough. And then when I do, it's not enough, right? So the volume is not there, which is kind of all tied together that I'm struggling with.
Okay, so let's talk about, let's first start with the enough. So when you say you're either overeating or you're not stopping it enough because the volume isn't there, do you mean physically enough or do you mean emotionally enough? What is your brain telling you?
It's both, right? So, take for example, yesterday where I had two meals and I really wasn't hungry for my third one, but then I got upset that I wanted to still eat it, right? So I ate it, but I knew I probably didn't need that or that volume, and then I just ate more on top of it, and then I switched. Well, I'm gonna have an apple and walnuts with that to make it better, but I didn't even need that.
Well, let's talk about it. So you were aware that you were not hungry, and yet your brain like really wanted the food. Tell me about that moment. What happened for you when you were like, I am not hungry? And then that click happened where the switch happened and you were like, I still want to eat. Like, what happens for you? Emotional, like, what happened? What are you thinking about? What are you feeling? What is happening in your body?
So it's either one is deprivation or two, I deserve this meal, right? It's like it's a third meal, I should get a meal, right? I'm used to eating this amount, I want it, So that's
Yeah.
what starts to happen because sometimes it's not a trigger, I'm trying to look, is it loneliness, is it boredom? And sometimes it is those things, and other times it's I want the food, I just deserve it.
Okay. So you immediately have a thought, I want it. I deserve it.
Yes.
So let's set that over here and not like try to change that and just leave it there for a minute. What do you like in your most conscious mind, right here with me? You raise your hand to be coached. What do you really want?
So I want to change the thoughts around this, right? That I'm okay and I don't need to eat it, right? That I can push it off till tomorrow. It's fine. It's not a necessary have to have because that's where I want to stop the I don't care. I'm going to eat it anyway syndrome. The 2-year-old toddler syndrome, right? It's like I
Yeah.
want it. I've never been told no, and I'm going to do it,
Yeah. Okay. So you sound really definitive and
Yes.
like pretty, your conscious brain is on it. Like, I want to not do this. So, what are you telling your 2-year-old brain in the moment when it's like, no, I deserve this. I want it?
So a week ago, I did sit with the feeling, and it was way longer than 5 minutes, right? It kicked up everything that it could possibly kick up, but I didn't like experiencing it, right? So I really struggled with that. And so when it came like to the other day, I just didn't want to go through that again, right?
Yeah.
It felt painful. It's not, but it feels painful. Like mentally it is. And it's the coping mechanism of everything.
So, Karen, I want to talk to you, but I want to talk to everybody because I think there's sort of a misnomer that happens that we think that we're gonna like feeling shitty when we tell ourselves no, or you sit with an uncomfortable feeling. Like eventually we're gonna like sitting with an uncomfortable feeling. And like you're probably not gonna like sitting with an uncomfortable feeling. It's really more about a willingness to do it and just do it anyway.
Okay.
Right? You're like you, Corinne, at goal weight after 15 years when she tells herself no, pretty sure I can speak for her that she like doesn't like it.
And yeah, and that's a tough one, right? Because I don't like being told no.
Okay, but like, let me ask you this. Do you really have to like every single facet of everything you do every day in your life? Like, do you like pooping? Do you like blowing your nose?
No. Well, no.
Right? Like, I mean, at some point, it's like, you really want to make a change. And the change requires telling yourself no. And you already know how to tell yourself no sometimes. And you know how to do things that are like not amazing and fun. I mean, we all have stuff in life that are not, they're not amazing and fun things, and we do them.
So the alternative is like, as soon as you're going, when I can see I'm going into fuck it mode, right? What do you do at that point? Because like, it, like literally I'm going in, I'm diving in hard, right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to tell myself, don't do it. And then I'm still opening up like the pretzels, bag of chips or whatever it is at that point.
Yeah, that's such a great question. It is different for everybody, but let's talk about some of the possibilities. So for me, it's usually never a absolutely not, don't do it. It's like, I immediately ask myself questions like, why am I wanting to do this? Like, what do I want more than this? Why is this the be all end all? Like, I literally will ask myself in the moment, like, what am I avoiding in my life right this minute when I'm reaching for this thing? I think some of you have heard me talk about it, but I practice something called radical honesty. And it is a commitment to telling myself 100% the truth, even when the truth is ugly as fuck, people. Like, I practice telling myself 100% the truth. So there's really no willingness to fool myself. It's like, I just want this. This tastes good. I deserve it. I skipped a meal. And then it's like, you're so full of shit. I never deserve food. I never have earned food. My human body needs to be fueled by food. And of course, I'm going to eat food I like to fuel it, right? Like, so I don't eat seafood. I was just talking to a private client about this yesterday. I don't eat seafood at all. So like, literally, if seafood was on the table for 3 days in a row, I could go 3 full days without eating. I would never consider eating it. I cannot stand the smell or the taste or any of it. So I know how to say no.
I agree.
Yeah. You know how to say no, and it's easy when you don't like the food.
Yep.
So it's like falling back on that. Go ahead.
And then I'm kind of good with that. So that makes sense. And I did have one last question, right, about the leveling up or the changing the food, because my progress has been super slow, right? Eating the foods I like, but I'm just not progressing the way I want. How do you go and start thinking about changing that or move to the better, the best, and when to start adding them in? Because I like to get a little bit more momentum on seeing the scale.
That's a good question. I think when you think of the good, better, best foods, first of all, it's all food you like, right? Okay. Like from good to better, better to best, it's all going to be food you like, maybe food you love. It's a question of like, what changes can you make that you still do like, but are taking your food choices to the next level? And I'm going to describe one to you. So I am obsessed with French fries. Do you all know this about me? Like obsessed. Like when I joined NoBS, I probably ate French fries twice a day, like lunch and dinner. So a level up for me is always going to be like French fries are going to be on good, better, and best. But this is what I did. I figured out where do I absolutely love French fries? Like can't live without them. They're amazing. And it's like these 2-3 restaurants. Where are they kind of like, okay, they're a choice, but I would mostly consider another choice. And what 25 places do I not even like them? I won't even consider it. And so I made a list of all those places. Then I like home stuff. Like, do I like making my own? Do I like frozen? Do I like certain brands of frozen? And I basically created my good, better, best for French fries, like best. So it's good is like fries in the places that I actually like them and like will eat them and not places I don't like them. So right off the top, I've eliminated all the extra eating because I no longer just eat them anywhere. I only eat them in places I like them. Better is like at home. Best is like I make my own, but I learned how to make really good ones. So you notice I'm still eating French fries the whole way through, right? I didn't have to go from French fries to green salad, but I no longer eat French fries at any fast food restaurant, at any chill place, like. I eat them at like two local restaurants that I love them. And then the only unknown factor is a future restaurant where I've never been there. And you know what I do there? I ask the waiter to give me extra time and I literally wait till I see fries go by and I look at them. I'm like, is that even worth it? Do I want that to go behind the velvet rope? No, not really. Or like, oh yeah, those do look delicious. So it's literally your own preference, but like I want you to think about good, better, best from a perspective of it can be the same food, good, better, best, just different portions. It can be leveled up food, like some people do sour cream in a potato and like lots of it, but they notice they don't feel amazing when they eat sour cream, but like they like cottage cheese in a potato. For them, that's a level up. This is not about diet thinking. Like for me, I used to eat a lot of avocado. Then I had gastrointestinal surgery. I had my gallbladder out, and now avocado makes my export system very unhappy. Well, avocado is like a superfood, but I can't eat it or it makes my stomach hurt. So I want you to think about good, better, best. Like, how can you level up? Like, tell me your favorite food. What food do you love?
So two would be bagels and pizza, right? Those are the easiest.
Bagels and pizza. Okay. Do you have a specific place you'd like to have pizza? Let's start with pizza. Like to have pizza?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's definitely a local restaurant.
Okay. So you like it there. Is there any other place you're like willing to eat pizza?
There's a couple, but and I've got good at discerning like where not to go to.
Okay. And then do you ever make your own pizza?
I do on occasion, but not
Okay.
as much as I did. But just even you hearing you talk about how you did the best of even just a restaurant, that's really good because I would never even consider that, right, from that standpoint. To
Yeah,
take
and
it down
you,
that level of detail.
yeah. And like, so with your pizza, it may be like at my favorite place, I normally eat a half a large pizza. So now I'm going to have three slices of a large pizza, and better might be two slices of a large pizza with salad, and best might be one slice. Like at our pizza parlor, the slices are like three slices. So for me, like one slice of my absolute favorite pizza with a great salad really makes me happy. Well, for me, that's best. But that might not be best for you. Like, if you eat a half of a large pizza, two or three slices might be best for you. The thing about no BS is you do get to make it your own way. So I know Ashley's posting the good, better, best worksheet. What I recommend is you guys do it and then come to Ask Coaches and we can help guide you to like, well, what would be best here? Like, if you throw on an entire cup of salad dressing, maybe you could dial that back. Maybe not.
And that's super helpful. And then that's probably where I'm going to need to, like, if I'm not seeing the progress on the scale, because sometimes I am eating less, like, what does it take to do that next step, to start dialing in?
Yeah. And like, there's so many options with good, better, best for anyone who's listening, and including you, Karen. Like, there's really no wrong way to do it. You're not like, there's no everything has to land on a salad on the best list because we're no BS. You're supposed to be eating foods you love. You notice for me, it was like less pizza and I had like a really good salad with it. Well, that's how I like to eat pizza, but that's not how everything is. It's not like everything on my best list is a salad. But I have noticed like I used to love to pour cheese on everything. Well, now my good is like some cheese. My better is a sprinkle of cheese. My best is no cheese. But the truth is, it used to be my good was a cup of cheese on everything. And my better was like a half a cup of cheese and some, sauce cheese. So it's like I've evolved over time, not because I have to, but because I want to, because my body is different now and my body likes different foods and likes to eat a different way and likes to feel better in my food. Like I can tell you, a cup of cheese on everything made my export system unhappy.
Yeah, that's unbelievable how you like circled in on everything like that and to bring it back into there, because I saw it with the diet mentality on how good, better, best really was, but not realizing you can really take it into small incremental steps at some point.
Yeah, and I want to encourage you and everyone. I did do the Good, Better, Best worksheet a few months ago, and we talked about like every single facet of food is not about this one place. Like, I eat foods I love, but since my gallbladder surgery, I have incredible stomach problems and I have incredible export problems. So sometimes I choose things that go in here that have to do with that area more than my pleasure.
Makes
I
sense.
like everything I eat fine, but there's times where it's like I just sort of like it, it's fine, but like my stomach loves it and the export system really loves it. It's like, well, it's worth considering eating for that for me.
Perfect. Well, that was all my questions, so thank you very much.
You're welcome, Karen. I'll see you soon. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. All right, Raquel. This is so good. Good, better, best is a really interesting conversation because when we go into it with diet mindset, you think you're restricting when you're making improvements. But actually, if you ask yourself, like, what do I love? What do I like? What does my body love? What feels good? What energizes me? That can be so helpful. Hi, Raquel. Good to see
Hi,
you.
Julie. Nice to see you too.
Yeah.
This has been an incredible call so far. Oh my goodness, those first two was just hit really home to me. The other thing that I wanted to talk about, it was funny. I was like, well, maybe I'll lower my hand. I'm like, no, there is something that I wanted to talk about because at the beginning when you introduced yourself, you talked about taking big ass action, and that's one of the things that's I'm kind of stuck in that. You know, I've been in no BS for a long time, and the first two calls really resonated with me. Along with that, it's like there's so much I want to do. Like, I know that I need to really work on my anxiety, and I know I need to work on my attachment to food and some of the things that really calm me down, because a lot of times that's much faster than actually doing the process. You know, the food just almost like an emergency delivery system to kind of turn down the anxiety. But then I'm like, okay, so I have books and I have journals and I've gone to camp and I have all of these things. It's like I really feel like I'm just kind of halving it, not even maybe halving it, quartering it. And I'm not sure like how to dive in, because I get almost like analysis paralysis. I'm like, oh, I have a book, and oh, I should be journaling, and oh, there's a podcast, and oh, I should be watching replays. And it's not the like I love the content and I can organize it. I just literally am not sure what would be the best thing to get me going and how to sustain it, I
Yeah.
guess.
So in my mind, what I would do is like make a list of all the things you want to accomplish. And have you recently heard Corinne talk about prioritizing like what's easy and like the most effective, what's easy but like semi-effective, what's hard and effective, and what's hard and not very effective? Have you heard her talk about this a little bit?
I have, yes.
So I personally have used a system very similar to this, like pretty much my whole life, but a lot when I make big change in my life. So I'll make a list of all the things I want to do, right? Like you talked about navigating your anxiety and nervous system and different, facets. Make a list of each thing. And then what's it going to take to do that thing? And then that quick, like easy, high impact. So, like E and H, E and L for easy and low impact, hard and high impact, so H and H, and then hard and low impact, H and L. And I would do a little rating system. And the ones that are easy, high impact, I would immediately do first. Like, period. It doesn't even matter if my brain says, like, well, that one that's hard, it would be really impactful and it would impact all these other things. The thing is, we all need like wins. And so easy, high impact equals win that you can celebrate. And now you have like that little bank of success that allows you to kind of like boost yourself up and keep going. You know, it's easy to kind of get wrapped up in the spin of all these things. I should be doing all these things. Like, what is your highest priority?
So I love that. It's so funny that I have done that. I've used her system at work because work was always a sense of anxiety for me. So all my to-do tasks, I've kind of done that at work. I've never really thought about using that with some of the no BS things or in my personal life of what I want to get accomplished. So it's so interesting because I really never, I was like, oh, that's my work stuff. And I have done that for my to-do list at work. So I think that that would be, that's a great idea. I think that that would be helpful to try that. Yeah.
I think it'd be great for you because it like allows you to stop even with the four basics. Some days I'm like, I'm doing one basic today. What is it? Which is the easiest one that's going to have the highest impact? And then I'm literally giving myself permission to do none of the rest of them. And for me, 99% of the time, that is doable hunger stopping it enough. It's the easiest one to work on because like we all eat food. And at some point, our body's had enough. So, as long as I'm willing to look for it, not saying it's easy to accomplish, but it's certainly like we're going to eat, we're going to get hungry, we're going to eat, and our body at some point is going to have enough. So, I immediately am like, throw out writing the plan, throw out journaling, throw out whatever. But I'm doing enough because enough goes with me everywhere. It doesn't require any paperwork. I'm not getting like all tied up in. I should read this, I should write that. And like suddenly you're doing a lot of paperwork and not doing the actual, like actually doing the basics. And so that is truly my recommendation to you is like it asking yourself, if I were only going to do one thing today of this list of things, what is the absolute most important to me? What would you
Well, and
answer?
I think, well, my answer with that, did you say what is my, what would my answer be? Is that what
Yeah.
you said? So I think it would probably be in the morning, getting up, doing my quiet time and planning and assessing, because when I do that, my day is better. Where I really have noticed is I have that all or nothing thinking, but it is in every area of my life. So many. It's so interesting because it used to be just like, oh, it's just kind of with food. It's like, oh, either I, you know, if I mess up for the day or, you know, go off plan, then the rest of the day. It's like, oh, no, it's at work. It's at home. It's with my family. I mean, it's just that mindset that I have. So I think it'll be really helpful to just kind of get that out. And I might do that with like some other stressor or some other areas of my life that maybe cause me stress to just kind of like get that brain dump and just really go through it and then kind of okay, what's easy to tackle, what's hard to tackle, and that would be helpful because if I can start the day off that way, it's just sometimes it feels like, well, that's not enough and that I need to be doing more. And you know, like I said, I have books and all these resources and I want to read them, but it's like, ah, you know, which
Yeah.
book do I read first? Which podcast do I listen to first? You know?
But here's the thing for you. Your brain is telling you, I need to be doing more. What if it's wrong? Why is more better?
Well, because I'm not getting results, so.
Okay, but like, so load your, like, buy 500 books. Is more going to make you get results?
Well, you know. From my past, no, but that is literally my pattern is be curious, what's out there? Ooh, more the plant, especially now, like when it's the season to buy like planners and stuff for the new year. Ooh, I need a new planner. Ooh, that will work. Oh, look, there's a YouTube video on prioritizing your goals. And then I just get into all of these rabbit holes of trying to get a system that will help me because it's a system that I need. And then I just go into all these different areas.
So I would urge you every day, and for anybody on this call, to answer this one question every day on your planner somewhere. Like, how do I have everything I need right here, right now? What's the one thing I'm going to use that I have already? Right? Like, more books, more information, more stuff that you have to intake that you don't end up doing. How do you have everything you need right here, right now, already?
I have goosebumps because it's true.
I know you. You have everything you need already, Raquel. Yeah. Like,
yeah. I guess sometimes I just don't trust that, that I'm like enough or that I can do it or that, yeah. So
you have everything you need right here already. Everyone on this call does. Yeah. So I urge you to ask yourself that question every day and like pick one thing you have already. You notice I'm not telling you don't learn new things, learn new things. I get it. But don't make the new thing out there in front of you that you haven't learned yet the answer to your prayers. You literally have everything you need already. Pick something you already know and do it today while you learn new things, while you're excited by possibilities.
I love that. Thank you. Thank you. I can't wait to listen to this again. This has been a great call. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You're so welcome. Good to see you.
Nice to see you.
Bye. Oh, so good. Andrea, you're next. And while we come up, Raquel just brings up this thing that we all do. I do it too sometimes, and I've taught myself not to, but it happens. We all are looking out in front of us as if we are waiting for the thing that is going to fix us. But we're not broken. We have all the tools we need today. So pick one of the basics, do a basic. You got it now. Hi, Andrea, or Andrea. You should tell me which one it is.
Andrea.
Thank you. Hi, Andrea. Hi.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you? What are you working on?
I'm scared. I'm terrified.
Okay.
Nervous.
Yeah.
I guess I just want to piggyback off of Raquel. I mean, she started her call, her message just the same with the same as me. I'm just overwhelmed with all the things. I tend to gravitate towards all the new things, you know, and I end up doing none of the things. So like I go to the gym, I have the journaling camp. I just wasn't able to attend, and I haven't listened to the replays, of course, yet. But I have all the self-help books, and I have, you know, an Amazon cart full, and all of the worksheets, and all of the lessons, and all of the pathways, and every, and I just don't know where to go and what to do.
Yeah.
So instead, I play on my phone and I do nothing.
Yeah.
And so, next thing you know, 4 years goes by.
So what do you know you need to do? What do you know you need to do? Like, what's one thing that's screamingly clear that you know you need to do?
Stop overeating and eating at night.
There you go. So here's what I want you to do right now. I want you to never tell yourself you don't know what to do. Now, we're going to talk about how to do that, but you actually do know what you need to do. You need to work on your overeating and lessen the amount you eat at night. Is that true?
True. And I feel like a lot of the reason, well, a lot of what leads me to eat at night is this, the overwhelm, because I have time at night where I can listen to a podcast or start a course or this, that, and the other. And because I don't know which way to go with it, I just shut down, or the anxiety goes up and I just end up watching television or playing on my phone or distracting / avoiding in some way.
So do you think there's one right way?
Well, I do have perfectionist tendencies, so probably, yeah.
Yes, I can tell. So, is there such a thing as perfection?
No.
Okay, good. So you know that. So
I
really,
do.
you know your brain's kind of full of shit.
Right. It's all come from childhood, and I'm trying to undo all that, you know?
Okay. So you learned some things about perfection in your childhood?
Right.
Okay. So when your brain brings up perfection type thinking now, what do you say to it?
I'm still just doing what it takes to try to reach for that perfection.
Yeah. So maybe there's an opportunity here to interact with the part of your brain that is looking for perfection to help teach that part of your brain that they're just wrong. That
Okay.
they're like, so in essence, when the drive for perfection comes in, it's like, yeah, I got it. You learned this concept when you were really young and you really bought into it. You believed there was such a thing as perfection. We now know there isn't, but we're having to work through like making shifts around this because it's pretty big. Like we learned
Yeah.
perfection, right? Like normalizing this. Like, of course, you're looking for perfection because you were taught to look for perfection,
Yeah.
right? But now you have to teach all the parts of you that you no longer are looking for perfection because there's no such thing. So, like, it's a practice of like interacting. You have camp, so you have the benefit of some of this work, the middle section of camp. Corinne called it like inner child, but really it's inner you. And she talked about that the next day, that she kind of really regretted only using the phrase inner child because it's really interacting with inner you, not
Okay.
necessarily just your inner child. But that work in that section, I would highly recommend you focus on fairly soon because
Okay.
you have it. It's like interacting with the piece of you that is the driver towards perfection, interacting with
Okay.
her in a way like, what is she needing? Why is she driving towards that so much? What can you offer her to kind of help her relax so that you can kind of embrace the other facets of this, which is like setting little mini goals and accomplishing them. They have nothing to do with perfection. Right. It's like there might be 10
Right.
steps to a goal. You do 2 steps, you celebrate it.
Okay. That's really good advice. Because I feel like if that's where all of it begins, that's what I need to address in order to make progress. Because like I said, I've been a member for 4 years. I haven't lost a single pound. I've been back and forth with the same 5 to 10 pounds the entire time. And the perfectionist in me kind of goes through, well, this isn't working, so now I need to add a self-help book, or now I need to add this. And most recently, I started thinking about bypass surgery, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. And then I thought, until I'm putting in the effort I should. And again, there comes more perfectionism. Until I'm giving 100%, I can't really say that what I'm already doing isn't working.
That's so true. And I think what's interesting is like there are so many steps to getting to a goal. So let's say you and I agree you're just working on your next single pound, 1 pound. Well, there's all kinds of things to that pound. You want to plan your meal and assess your meal and collect your data. You want to get water. You want to get sleep. You want to eat when you're hungry. You want to stop at enough. Well, if you made a list of those, just like with Raquel, what's easy and the highest impact that like you could do right now? Well, you may pick like three of them are easy, high impact. The rest of them, who knows? They could be hard and low impact for all I care. But what I want you to do is do the three easy high impacts and then celebrate that you did those three easy high impacts. I think you're thinking, like, no, until I do all eight things or all six things, and then
Right.
I've gotten to the goal weight, which is however many pounds from now. It's like if every day I told myself I can't celebrate my weight loss until I get to 180 pounds, like, oh, how painful would that be?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So this is truly your homework. I want you to think about the basics, like what's it going to take this week to lose 1 pound? Make your list. What's easy and high impact? Anything that isn't easy and high impact, don't worry about it. Easy, high impact. Right? It might be water and sleep are the easiest high impact. It might be eating when hungry is easiest high impact. I really don't care. But what you want to do is create some wins for yourself so that you like legit can look back and say, yeah, there's 6 steps to accomplishing it. I did those 3 like a boss. I did not do those 3, but I still got the pound.
Yeah. Like this month, I've planned and assessed every single day so far. I have been, you know, tracking my habit tracker with sleep and water. But then I still am so focused on, but look at your journaling. You've only journaled 6 days so far this month. Or, my husband has told me for years, why do you always focus on the negative? I'll go to the gym 5:30 in the morning and I come home and he'll say, how'd it go, honey? And I'll say, you know, it went pretty good, except I couldn't get all my push-ups in. And look, he's like, went to the gym at 5:30 in the morning and you did an hour workout minus 6 push-ups. Why are you so focused on the minus 6? You know, and that's I can't, you know, still struggle with reframing all that.
Yeah. So in that moment, I really want you to use the 4N tool, just like out loud or in your head. And it would look something like this. Like, I noticed I didn't get the push-ups done. It's like, notice the thought. I didn't get the push-ups done. Normalize it. Human brains oftentimes just go to the negative, and I noticed that mine does, right? This is actually a scientific fact. Human brains go to the negative. Okay. So neutralize what actually happened. I went to the gym at 5:30. Maybe that's your only like neutral. I went to the gym. Maybe you put every single exercise down. But like a next best thought is literally like, I am learning how, or I'm growing into a person who celebrates what she does do, right? It doesn't matter that your brain goes negative first every single time, Andrea, excuse me.
I think that the inner you work is going to be super important for me. Like my accountability group is always on my case because I'm always like, I just want to do it right. That's why journaling I was so excited for this camp and so irritated that I couldn't attend live because am I doing it right? I will erase a sentence to reword it. And my accountability group is like, no one is reading this. This is just you putting thoughts on paper. It doesn't have to be perfect. But what am I grateful for today on my plan? I feel like I can't write the same thing 3 days in a row because now I'm, you know.
But what's so interesting is you're the one making up all the rules.
But that's right? What you're my brain making does. Up
the rules. Exactly. So yeah. It's like, I want you to stop saying you're crazy because actually it's normal that you go negative. But here's what I want you to do. Start telling your brain. Right now, your brain goes negative and you're like, it's terrible. It has to stop doing that. It doesn't have to stop doing that. You're going to maybe always go negative. It's like, fine, you go negative first. What matters is where do you go next? So I really want you to focus on talking back to your brain. Like, thank you for that contribution. Now that we've gotten that out of the way, like I knew I would think that. And now we're going to focus on this, right? Like that is your assignment of all assignments. Like no matter what your brain says negative, you go like, hey, got it. I knew I would say that. And now I'm going to focus on blank.
That's super helpful. I knew I would say that because that's absolutely true because I've always focused on the negative. So I did know I would say that.
So
that's very helpful.
I want you to practice this for a while and then come in to ask coaches and let me know how I can support you more. But this is like a practice, and you can set a reminder on your phone. Like, I've shown my one-on-one clients my own calendar where I have like reminders pop up throughout the day. Sometimes it's good to remind yourself of these things when it's not in the moment, where it's not dramatic in the moment. So it's like, oh, I knew my brain would go negative. So I know my brain's going to say some shit. And what really matters to me is how I respond after it says it. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, that's big. Andrea. That's big. Okay. Thank you so much, Julie.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. This hour went by fast. I'm sorry, those of you who didn't get coached, please come to the next call and raise your hand. It's my honor to be with you today and to have Coach Ashley here with you. Thank you, everyone, for your time. And so many of these lessons apply to all of us. Come back into the Facebook group or into Ask Coaches and tag Coach Ashley or I with anything you're working on, anything you need support on, and what's your one, if you were going to ask yourself, what do I have already that, like, I have all the tools I need already, what is one that I'm going to focus on today? Thanks again. Bye.